Well, John chapter 8, as we continue our studies there, beginning with the 8th verse through verse 21. John chapter 8, verse 12 through verse 21. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. And we'll conclude there these words of great import as Christ Himself is quoted by John in His Gospel. Let me begin this morning by saying that I've always tried to understand other people the best I can and allow for some differences and diversity among people. We're not all the same. And I certainly don't expect everyone to be a replica or duplicate of me. I hope I respect cultural differences among us, family backgrounds, and all the things that make us different. I think I've seen things change in cultures, even in our own culture. You know, we used to have the good handshake. Which has always been my style, and we moved to the high five there for a while. You know, everybody was high fiving each other, and now we're touching fists. That's the new thing going around. No big deal. Whatever suits you there. Adiaphora. Things indifferent. It doesn't really matter. We accept differences in how people greet one another. My children, all three of my children live in fairly new houses, and when my wife and I visit them, we're expected to take our shoes off at the door. Now, this just doesn't fit right with me, okay? And for a while, I just refused to do it. But I do it now, okay? All right, you got nice rugs and floors, and I'll take my shoes off and walk around in my socks like everybody else. Hey, I'm pretty easy to get along with. I respect people's differences here. Something else I've tried to understand that I can't quite understand, but I've tried to make allowances, and that is back in the 60s, many of my friends who were a part of the revolutionary generation, dropped out of college and dropped out of society. Some of them would go off to a far distant place. Some of them would be in communes and picketing and everything, and you know, some of them would just decide to leave school and society and hike the Appalachian Trail for several months and just disappear. And they would often say they were doing that to find themselves. They need time to find out who they are, to search for themselves. I've tried to understand that, and I've tried to give allowances for that. I've seen a few men in midlife crisis who ran off with other women and who said, "Preacher, I'm just trying to find myself. I don't know who I am anymore." I've tried to understand people like that. Some people call it floundering. And maybe some floundering for some people in some circumstances is normal. My parents would not tolerate floundering. And sometimes to flounder, you have to have money. And we didn't have the money to flounder. And the advice we always got from my father was, "Hey, son, you either work hard in school or you go into the coal mines. That's your choice." And after the last few weeks, you might understand why we were driven very hard to do very well in school. If I had told my father that I needed the time to find myself, he would have handed me a hoe and said, "Go in the garden and hoe the weeds and you'll find yourself, Larry." Hard work was the answer to 99% of the problems. And life was finding out where you should be, how hard you should work. In those days, we didn't have callings and we didn't have choices much. All we had was the need to survive. And many of you don't understand that, but survival was all we could. That was our goal in life, was to survive. We didn't think too much about what we wanted to be when we grew up. We just wanted to survive. And I guess there's a certain sense in which I think I always knew who I was, where I came from, and where I was going, and therefore I couldn't understand others who didn't have that. And no doubt I've made some certain changes in my life, and big changes as I grew older. I wanted to be a professional baseball player when I was young. I had to give that up. You say, "Well, Larry, what does that have to do with our text?" It's a good introduction, I suppose. But, well, it has a lot to do with our text, because as I was reading this text, there's certain words that just really hit me in the face. And that was from verse 14, where Jesus says, "I know where I have come from and where I'm going. I know. I'm not floundering. I'm not guessing. I know who I am. I know where I've come from. And I know where I'm going." And I guess my question this morning to each of you will be, can you say that? Can you say that? You see, Jesus was coming under criticism here, verse 13. "You don't know who you are. You are testifying about yourself and your testimony is not true. You have a false understanding of yourself, Jesus. You've been misled. You don't even know who you are." And in verse 19, "So they were saying to him, 'Where is your Father?'" You don't even know who your Father is. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where your roots are. You're just an existential being out here living for the moment. You don't know anything about the past. You don't know who you are. And that's the context of Jesus' statement in verse 14. I'm sorry, in verse 14. Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. You know, what I say about myself is true. I know who I am. And I know where I have come from. And I know where I'm going. And you know, as I read that text, I thought, what a wonderful thing to know. I know people who would give everything they have if they could say, I know who I am, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. How many people would give their eye tooth just to be able to say that with confidence? Jesus did not need to search to find out who He was. Jesus did not waste time floundering. He knew who He was. Verse 12, I am. I am. I know who I am. I am the light of the world. I came into the world to expel and disperse darkness. Darkness is being somewhere where you don't know where you are. You know what darkness is when you have no lights? I don't know where I am. Right after I had my eye surgery, I got up in the middle of the night with a patch over my eye and protector, and the doctor said, make sure you don't run into anything. Make sure you protect your eye. And it was dark in the middle of the night. There's no lights. And what do? I run square into the door of our bedroom. Bang! Oh, no! I just ruined the whole surgery. I can't see in the dark. My wife says, next time we leave a light on, you know where you're going. Darkness means I don't know where I'm going. Jesus says, I know who I am. I am the light of the world. And everyone who follows me will walk in that light. And they'll know who they are. And they'll know where they came from. And they'll know where they're going. Again, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me, you've got to follow Christ. You can't just think about him. You just can't read about him. You've got to follow him. There he is. I'll go over there. He says, do this. I'll do this. You've got to follow after him. He says, trust in me. We trust in him. But he who follows me will not walk in the darkness. He won't be lost. He won't be saying, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. But he will have the light of life. Jesus implies that knowledge and confidence that he has, you can have too. You can walk in the light and you can know who you are, from whence you came, and where you are going. Ask that, you know, with a microphone on the typical street today to the people who are walking down the street. How many of you think could give an answer to that question? In verse 14, he says, even if I testify myself, my testimony is true. I don't need anybody else to verify who I am. I know who I am. And if you don't know who I am, then your judgment is flawed. Again, verse 15, you judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. We saw last week Jesus didn't come to be a judge. But, you know, if you need somebody else to identify who I am, if you need for yourselves some other information to know who I am, well, I've got that too. Your law does say, verse 17, that everything has to be established by at least two men. And so if you really, you know, if, assuming you want to keep God's law, there's another testimony, and that is God the Father. Verse 18, you want two witnesses? I am He who testifies about Myself, and the Father who sent Me testifies about Me. Okay, the law says you've got to have two witnesses to verify every fact. Here are your witnesses. Two persons. And we could go off into the Trinity here, and there are three persons in the Trinity, and Jesus says the Father and the Son are separate persons, and therefore there is a basis here for the concept of the Trinity. We won't move off into that area here today. And in verse 19, they ask Him, where is Your Father? Your Father, you say, is Your witness. And Jesus says, you neither know Me nor My Father. If you knew Me, you would know My Father also. There's unity in the Godhead there. Now, the sad thing here is in verse 21. Then He said to them, I go away, and you will seek Me, and will die in your sin. And I think what He's saying there is that, you know what, you don't know who you are. You don't really know who you are. People who will die in their sins. You have no future. You have no place with God. Where I go, you cannot come. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you are. You don't know the reality of the sins that you are carrying and committing and what that will bring in your life. You are sinners and you will die in your sins. Your sins will bring trouble upon trouble upon trouble upon you and eventually death. And you don't know that. You don't know what your real problems are. You have a sad future ahead of you. Now, that's pretty much what Jesus is saying, and that's the context of where He says, basically, I know who I am, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. And I believe that every Christian, if asked those questions, should be able to say, yes, I know who I am, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. I hope each one of you can say that. We can say as Christians we know where we came from, and we want to go beyond our mothers and fathers here, but we all came from Adam. God created Adam and Eve, and we can trace our lineage back to them as our first parents, as the Catechism says. We're not a result of evolutionary process. We did not come from some one-celled amoeba. We did not come from the monkey. We did not come from some meaningless, bottomless pit of nothingness. We came from Adam, the crown of creation, made in the image of God. And because we know where we came from, we know who we are. We were created by God for His glory. We were created to subdue the earth, to have dominion. And we know who we are. We know we're sinners. We know that we inherit Adam's sin. We know this. We know we are a big mess. We are full of deception and arrogance and self-will and rebellion. That's who we are. And we need to be subdued by God. And we also know that Christ died to forgive us of our sins. We know that's who we are. And Christ died to change us from being mastered by sin to be mastered by Him. And that's a sanctification process that'll never be fulfilled in this life in terms of perfection. Even when we've done our best and even when we've progressed in sanctification, we always fall back into the pit of saying we know we are full of deception and arrogance and self-will and rebellion, and we live with that knowledge. That's who we are. And as Christ has forgiven us, we know that now we have the responsibility that all we do and we eat and we drink, whatever we do, we are to do for the glory of God, wherever we are in life. We are sinners saved by grace, called to serve Christ with all of our hearts and minds and souls. Somebody says, "Who are you?" That's what we say. "This is who I am." "Where'd you come from?" "I came from Adam. And I inherited his sinfulness, and God imputed to me the curse that belonged to him. I'm a mess. And Christ is my only hope." And they say, "Where are you going?" Jesus said to the Jews, "I go away, and where you seek me, you will seek me. You will die in your sins, and where I'm going, you cannot come. You're not coming with me." But we as Christians can say, we're on the road to be with Christ. Remember what Christ said in John 14? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where are we going? Where are you going in life? You know, some of you, life is beginning to move on, right? 35, 45, 55, 65. Where are we going in life? Where is it all going to end? In the grave? No. Christ has gone to his Father's house, and there are many mansions there. And Christ will come receive us, and that where he is, we will be also. That's where we're going. That's the ultimate place where we will be. You see, we have answers to those questions. People go to philosophy classes in college and everywhere and study who they are. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Fools you are. Fools you are. You don't know who you are, where you came from, where you're going. We know. We're Christians. We came from Adam. We're sinners saved by grace. And Christ will come and take us with Him to the promised land, that where He is, we will be also for all eternity. We have answers to the simple questions of life. Now, let me make one other application. I don't want to go too far here, but especially young people. Paul was pressing on to the goal and the mark. You know the passage in Philippians. It's not as though I have arrived, but I press on to the mark. We are living on this earth, and we have to press on and drive while we have life, pursue by God's grace those goals He has set before us. And some of us older folks are just about pressed out. You know, Paul said, "I press on." We just about pressed out. The youth of our church, of all churches in the Christian faith, they still have a lot before them. Probably not as much as they think, but anyway. They have a long life ahead of them, right? And I'm assuming here you know who you are, where you came from, and you know where you're going. That you are a Christian and your hope is in Christ. My concern is I overview what some call Reformville, and I won't get into that, but Reformville, the Reformed faith circles. is that we have too many young people in Reformville that are floundering. They have no goals. Sometimes I don't know if they know who they are. And they don't seem to be pressing toward anything or excelling in anything except the latest computer games. Living in a dream world, doing poorly in school, wasting time and money, hanging around home till they're 45 years old and they have a beard down to their knees, waiting on God to zap them and tell them what they are to do in life. Some hoping to get by with as little work as possible and little effort as possible. Spending 10 years in college to get the easiest degree you can get that will not allow you to do anything in life. Who are you? Where you come from? Where are you going? In a very practical manner, we should be able to answer those questions at some point in our life. Maybe not 16, maybe not 18, maybe not 30. But some point in our life, we should be able to say, although I'll have to say, as I was thinking about this sermon this morning, I'll know what I'm supposed to do. There's something that we carry with us all the time like that. Know who you are. Now, let me be real practical here. Learn your history. Learn your ancestry. Learn your culture. Take the DNA test if you have to. Learn what your IQ is. Learn what your gifts are, your talents and your strengths and your weaknesses. Know what your parents can afford in terms of school and places like that. Learn where you came from. It's easy to deceive yourself but in planning for the future, it helps to know a little bit about where you came from. It may take a while to arrive at who you are, but learn who you are. Learn your talents and your gifts and your proclivities, your personality, outgoing, shy, academic, vocational. And if you don't know, ask somebody else. Ask me, maybe. Ask your mom and dad. Ask your friends. If God made you as you are, if God made you 5 feet, 5 inches, with two left feet, don't think you're going to play basketball in the NBA because you're not going to do it. Don't live in a dream world. If you're not a people person, quote unquote, think about working on cars. You know, I mean, all these are questions that we should be asking ourselves and parents should be asking their children. Parents, you have a responsibility to look at your children and say, this is what I see in you and this is where I think you ought to go. And don't go over here because that's not where you belong. Because you know what? I know you real well. I know you better than you know yourselves. I know who you are. And young people know where you're going. Now, you may take time to do that. As you get through high school and college, and set some goals for yourself. Realistic goals. Once you set your goals, give it everything you got. You've heard the term 110%. I think that's kind of impossible, but give it everything you got. And if you, let me say this, and some of you are going to go, oh no, If you've got to do homework on Saturday night, do it to reach your goals. And if you're like me, when I went to college for 4 years, every class I had to be there. I never missed a class. I couldn't allow myself to because I would fall behind with one class being missed and I was out of it. I knew who I was. I wasn't so smart. I said one time what I lacked in intelligence, I made up in perseverance. I know I'm not that smart. But what I lacked in intelligence, I made up in perseverance. Set your goals. You know where you're going. And then sweat and cry and labor into the early morning until you reach your goals. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a loser. Don't flounder all your life. Push yourself to your limits. Endure what you hate. Sweat blood. And if you fail, start all over again. Because I've got to go. It's not unreachable. My parents told me it wasn't unreachable. My pastor told me it wasn't unreachable. My ACT test and my SAT test and this test told me it wasn't unreachable. And I'm going to press on. I'm going to give it everything I've got. I had a math teacher in college once who told me, he said, Larry, he said, when you start dreaming about math, I know you're learning mathematics. I don't know that I ever dreamed about it, but that's what he told me. He says, when you go home, when you start dreaming about it, it's in your dreams. I know you're conquering the subject. Press on. Reach the mark. You want to be a husband and a father? Press on to a goal where you can supply the needs of your wife, young men, and the needs of your children. You want to have 5 children, 10 children? It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of money. A whole lot of money. Press on. Set your goals. This is what I'm going to be and this is where I'm going and I'm going to give it all I got. Everything I got. I'm going to, even if I have to cry, and I probably cried over a few tests. You know, if I have to cry and I have to sweat blood, I'm going to finish. I know where I'm going. So when people talk to you and they talk to you and they come away and say, you know what, I don't think you know who he is. I don't think he knows where he's come from. I don't think he knows where he's going. That shouldn't be. Quote, unquote, make something out of yourself by the grace of God. It was true of Christ. I know who I am. I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going. It's true of us as Christians, isn't it? We came from Adam. We know who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And we know where we're going. We're going to the promised land where God has a mansion for all of us. Where He is, there will be too. And it's a good principle for life. Know where you came from. Know your roots. Know who you are. Know what your limits are. What you can do and what you can't do. Set your goals. And when people ask you, do you know where you're going? You say, yeah. Here's my goal. I'll sweat. I'll not sleep. I'll not eat. I'll do homework on Saturday nights, Friday nights, whatever it takes to reach that goal. I know where I'm going. Now that's an application. That may be going beyond the text, but I think it's a good application. I think it's true. May God give each of you the grace to know where you came from, to know who you are, and to know where you're going. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we are sinners saved by grace. We confess that we have all failed. Sometimes we thought we knew where we were going and we didn't. We pray for wisdom. We pray at minimum we all know that we came from Adam. We all know that we are sinners. And without Christ we shall die in our sins. And yet we all know too that Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is we may be also. And our Father, we pray for our young people. Give them early in life the knowledge of where they came from, who they are, and where they're going. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.